You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. Now up on TSN 2, on TSN Radio, up on the TSN app. Raptors in action tonight, taking on Washington. We'll get to that later in the hour. Al's brother will be on the clock momentarily. Michael Lombardi will join us in about 5 minutes. And we've been talking about our worst of, and the Grappler has put a lot of time into it. And we were supposed to play it today, and we got into some fine print, and we had to cross some T's and dot some I's. So we're going to get to it next week. But one of the, I think, highlights of the worst of features a part of an interview with Michael Lombardi from earlier in the year. Where probably. Lombardi, he was giving a great content, talking about whatever game it was, and I just blanked. Like, I think I had an issue with my headphone or something. I stopped paying attention, and I was up. And you can tell, if you listen to the clip, and we'll play it here, the veteran radio guy stepped in because I immediately reset. It is the go-to.
I love how you defend yourself, but the other clip, I'm apparently the dumbest guy on the radio, but this one
you're
is
a
like
veteran.
I'm admitting to my own idiocy and my wrongdoing. What I'm saying is I can tell I wasn't paying attention because of how I reset.
But you were able to dig yourself out.
Well, I don't know.
Let's hear it.
I don't know how it went after that, but okay.
Bill Belichick will have the team better. He'll have them much better by December.
Yeah.
With Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider.
Remember, I said, yeah, that was me.
You're trying to throw me a lifeline.
I was trying to help him.
Yeah, I wasn't, I don't know what I was doing.
I was staring at you, and I said, yeah, I probably could have.
You could have really helped me out and been like, you know, that's a good point, at least, or something, you know.
Well, one of the things about your style, which I realized every time I drove home and you had the Brian Hayes show, you don't mind the old pause-a-rooney.
I like a pause.
Yeah.
And it's
pause for effect.
That's what
I never understood it, but you used to do it a lot.
This was not a pause. That was just...
That was idiocy.
Yeah, I wasn't... I don't know what I was doing.
No.
And it's different when it's three of us. I mean, very rarely do you have an opportunity at a pause because we're all rabid dogs in here. We're trying to get back on the mic. We all got something to say.
Right.
When I was on my own for hours and hours and hours, and I got the old, not picking up... You're on your own for 12 minutes.
That's when you'd start yelling and screaming. There were times I remember listening to the Brian Hayes show. He'd be yelling and screaming almost at himself.
He had no one else to yell at.
But arguing with yourself. Like, and at that time, the Leafs weren't going so well.
Oh, man.
They're a joke.
The best thing, like, after that meltdown in Boston, I had 2 hours on my own. Can you imagine...
No. Oh,
the
no.
vitriol that was coming out of the microphone. Like, you were probably trying to talk me down a little bit. Oh, yeah. You weren't working with us at that point yet. So, Noodles, I'm sure you tried to be somewhat level-headed, although they blew a 4-1 lead with 11 minutes
ago. Yeah,
it was
tough to,
But then when you left, I'll bet you that door closed, and I was like, let's go. Like, I am
taking calls, and you...
All day I was taking calls. I don't think I had a guest for 2 hours. I'd already been on the air for 2 hours, and I think I did 2 hours straight phone calls and yelling about the Leafs.
Yeah.
How do you choke away a 4-1 lead?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, listen, that's tough.
All right, is Al's brother in there, or did he try to disappear? Okay, so the past couple of weeks, I would say it's been difficult for our boy, Al's brother.
Yeah,
no
he's
kidding.
Had a tough go.
Every game that he bets for me, I basically lose, and I owe you money.
Yeah, that's right. 2 weeks ago, we both went 2 for 2, but I won both $100 games. So that one, Al's brother's picks, I guess, went 1 for 1. Last week, I went 4-0. And that means Al's brother went 2-0, and it was bad.
Right.
Like, bad.
Rinsings.
Al's brother, like Minnesota and Baltimore, they got crushed.
Yeah.
Both of them got destroyed.
And the worst part about it is his text messaging that goes on. He's like, man, I really thought that wouldn't happen. I'm like, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to justify it afterwards. We know you didn't think it was going to happen.
Absolutely.
One text I sent him, I go, are we getting rinsed in all games? He writes back, unfortunately, yes, everyone. anyway, let's...
All right, so here's how we're going to do it, a little bit differently. The last couple of weeks, we flipped coins. We've gone back and forth. Both games were the Hunge. I think that's probably safe to say. And Al's brother will pick both games. He'll tell you who he likes, Kansas City or Tennessee, Green Bay or San Francisco. You will have the option to take both or defer, and I have to take both.
And I can't pick one or the other.
No, you can't. Al's brother is going to determine one of our picks, or two picks, I guess. So you ready for this, Al's brother?
I'm ready.
All right, man. It's been tough on you.
Like, think. Think.
Yeah, really put a lot of thought into it. Who do you like? Let's start with the AFC Championship game, okay? Kansas City at home. What's the spread there? I think it was seven and a half last time I checked.
We got plus seven.
Okay, you're getting plus seven with Tennessee.
Yeah.
All right, Al's brother, who do you have in that game?
In this one, I don't know if Tennessee wins it, but I do think they keep it close. I'm going Tennessee plus seven. Derrick Henry is a man possessed right now to run the football, and KC can't stop the run. So I think that Tennessee, not sure if they're going to win it, but I do think they keep it to within seven.
Okay, so there you go. Tennessee, he's got them. Now, last time I looked at the board, I'm looking at it right now, it's actually 7.5.
Let's figure that out.
Yeah. Okay, I think both games are minus 7.5. Kansas City minus 7.5. San Francisco minus 7.5. I would guess that makes you feel better about Tennessee. You're getting an extra half point.
Yeah, we'll keep Tennessee.
All right, so there you go. He is on Tennessee. What about the NFC Championship game? Green Bay Packers getting 7.5 at the Niners.
Normally, I think I would have to roll with Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think he is the Aaron Rodgers of old. I'm sorry, Brian. I'm going against your boy. I think that San Francisco is going to rinse him. You're going to be there for it, too, which is going to suck.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't have much faith in him.
You're going to be there for it, which is going to suck.
Yeah, that would suck. I hope that doesn't happen. All right, you're on the Niners. So, minus 7.5. That's a big number for a title game.
Hey, they got an outstanding defense. They're the number one passing defense in the league this year. And Aaron Rodgers, although he is Aaron Rodgers, I think that they kind of stifle him a little bit. So let's go San Fran minus 7.5.
All right, so there
I'll
you
make
go.
My decision after we
bring in Michael.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can sit on it. There you have it.
Maybe
Al's
he
brother
can chime in on his thoughts.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking here. Al's brother is on the Niners at minus 7.5, and he likes the points plus 7.5 with Tennessee. Here is our NFL insider, longtime NFL executive, writer with The Athletic, host of the GM Shuffle podcast, Michael Lombardi. Begin with the AFC side of things. We just went through our picks, Michael. Who do you like, the Titans or the Chiefs, and why?
You know, when you go back and watch the first game, the Chiefs were favored by 5 playing in Nashville. The game ended up being Tennessee 1-3. And when you watch the game, you're wondering how the heck Tennessee stayed within the as close as they did and how they even won the game. A missed field goal at the end would have sent it to overtime, a blocked field goal, actually. They botched a field goal before that, which gave Tennessee the ball back. The remarkable thing about this game is Derrick Henry gained 225 yards rushing in just 22 minutes with the ball. So they were able to do some incredible things without having the football very long. I don't think they can duplicate it again. I really like Kansas City. I think it's a really good matchup for Kansas City. They'll throw the football on Tennessee. I think they'll make too many plays and force Tennessee to have to drop back pass. I'm going to take the Chiefs and the points.
All right, so there you go. You're on Kansas City. Do you expect Kansas City to start better than they did a week ago? And if they do start poorly, do you think they can possibly get back in it like they did a week ago?
I think they're the Golden State Warriors. I don't think however they start. Last time they played Tennessee, they started out 10-0 in the first quarter. I think the problem with Kansas City and where they're liable to get stubbed in the toe a little bit is they have moments where they lose a little bit. They go periods where they don't score points. You know, one time they played the Raiders, scored 28 points in the second quarter, didn't score the rest of the game. I think that they can start slow and come back. I think they can start fast and fade away. I think the one thing about this game is they know the opponent. They have to keep scoring because it forces Tennessee to have to throw the football more than they want to.
Where do you stand on Andy Reid, who's, you know, he's a great coach. He's been around forever, but he's got this reputation of being a guy that can fumble around late in the fourth quarter, mess around with timeouts, clock management in a big game. How much faith do you have in Andy Reid, performing to perfection or thereabout as a coach?
Well, I think if you go back and watch the first game, he had one of those Andy Reid-like moments. You know, second down, he's trying to run out the clock. He throws an incomplete pass. Third down, Mahomes takes a sack he shouldn't have taken, loses 7 yards. The next play, the field goal kicker, the snapper, and the holder aren't on the same page. Bad snap, have to throw it away, grounding. So I don't think you could ever underestimate it. But I do put my faith in Patrick Mahomes and his ability to make unique plays at the right time. So I'm a little bit worried. When I give you that 7.5 tip, I'm holding my breath, hoping Andy Reid outsources his game management to India.
Okay. with our NFL insider, Michael Lombardi. All right, looking to the NFC side of things, naturally, because they played earlier in the year in the same building and it got ugly, everyone is referencing that game. Monday night, the Packers got smoked by the Niners. But they're 13-3 on the season. They're in a title game. They've got Aaron Rodgers. The Niners are -7.5 at home. Who do you like in that game and why?
I think the last game you got to throw out. The Packers were 1-for-15 on third down. They had the ball 35 minutes, couldn't do anything with it. They couldn't throw the football. They couldn't block San Francisco. I think they got to play a little bit of tempo. I think they got to tire the defensive front out. I suspect Green Bay is going to play a lot better than they did the first time. I think it'll be a really close game. I'm inclined to take the points in the Packers. I think the Niners will win, but I do think Aaron Rodgers will make some plays. I think we're going to see the better version of Aaron Rodgers, the one we saw against Seattle. And let's face it, we could talk about the last time they played all we want. They were in control of the Seattle game. Now, I know Seattle had moments, but they got the lead on Seattle, and they were able to do some things against Seattle that San Francisco couldn't quite do all the time. So I think the fact that they got smoked the last time really helps Green Bay. I'm going to go Packers and take the points. I think 49ers win, but I think 7.5 is too much.
Jimmy Garoppolo last week, just based on the nature of the game, he only had to connect on 11 passes. And in the second half, he barely threw the ball, if at all. How did the Packers force him to throw the ball?
Well, I mean, it's hard to because they really run it well in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, that zone scheme. They're going to be committed to the run, but you know, Jimmy's going to do some things. He's going to do some bootlegs and movement. They've got to block the two Smith brothers. That's going to be the key to Jimmy throwing the football, Zadarius and Preston. If they can block both of those two edge rushers of Green Bay, they will have success throwing the football. I actually think Jimmy G's going to have a big day.
Really? Well, okay. I don't know if I want to hear that.
That's not good news for our buddy here.
Yeah,
he's going to the game.
Yeah, I'm going to be down there. And, the Packers, you look at the way they performed last week, I totally agree with you. They were the better team. It wasn't that close. Russell Wilson was the only reason that was a game late in the game on Sunday. But you look at the way Rodgers managed to move the ball around. Aaron Jones didn't factor in a ton last week. What do the Packers do offensively that can win them this game? If they win, what has Aaron Rodgers and the offense done?
They've got to be able to play with some tempo. They've got to tire the defensive front out. He's got to convert third downs. He's got to keep the team on the field. He's got to tire them out and then take shots. And I think Davante Adams has got to have a big game. I think they'll use Aaron Jones more in the passing game. I think he's got to make plays in space. And they've got to be really, they've got to be on 7 or 8 play drives so that you can tire out this defensive front. Because if you tire them out, you can throw the football. But if they're fresh as daisies and they're rushing you, it's a hard, hard team to block.
You can find him on the GM Shuffle podcast, writing for The Athletic. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi joins us every Friday throughout the football season. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, sir.
There he is, Michael Lombardi. So let's just...
I'm trying to process his info and Al's brother's info.
Well, it's very simple. Do you want me to give you the recap?
Yeah, give me the recap.
He has the complete opposite picks of Al's brother.
So that's what I'm having a difficult time with. Who do I trust? A guy that was an executive in the NFL or Al's brother?
I might add that he also went 1-for-3 last week because he was on us at 3-1 and we obviously got skunked.
Right.
So he wasn't perfect last week either.
So one of you is going to get it back on track.
You know what? I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him.
You're going to stick with Al's brother?
I am. I'm going against an NFL executive and I'm going with that guy.
So you are on Tennessee and the Niners. That's who you're on.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's what I heard too. Is that... Can you confirm that, Al's brother? Those are your two picks, right?
I am thinking that Tennessee and the Niners, those are the picks.
Yeah. Right. Well, and he said he feels bad for you. Wasn't there a comment in there, too?
Very condescending. Like,
sorry, Brian. Yeah, very condescending.
Very
sorry, Brian. You're going to actually watch that ass kicking.
Right.
That's what he said.
Basically, you're a pathetic
loser. You think Jimmy Gorgeous can get it done?
But if Tennessee gets dummied, Al's brother, I'm never going to talk to you again. Do you understand that?
I understand. You know what's funny, too? Lombardi didn't seem so confident at the end when he threw that little nugget about it all comes down to Andy Reid, though, which made him seem a little skeptical on his KC pick.
There's a bit of a hedge there. Yeah. Andy Reid scares me a lot. Because he starts messing around with the time clock management.
Al's brother scares me.
I understand.
Who
that.
Scares you more, that guy or Andy Reid?
Well, Al's brother. I'm not on his picks again. I've avoided the virus for a second straight week.
You were up $300 this past week, I think.
Yeah, paying for the trip, courtesy of the O-Dog and Al's brother.
You bought a new hoodie with that money.
Right. I paid for everything. I paid for the hoodie. I'm paying for good seats. I got everything hooked up.
I don't even know why I'm agreeing with this guy. Like, I just want to give him a second chance, I think.
It's like the ninth chance.
Yeah, you're like that scorned lover, man. Yeah. You can't help yourself. You see Al's brother,
please don't,
you get a twinkle in your eye.
That way.
Right, but you actually see that guy back there, and you're like, I'm going to give him another chance.
I have
you
to
miss
have
99%
him.
Of the shots you don't take.
Mm-hmm.
The
go.
Worst thing is he gives me this creepy look and a thumbs up every time I want to go with him, and it's like, okay, buddy.
Well, he does.
If I get rinsed this time, we're done.
He emulates himself after you.
No, really? At the Super Bowl?
He showed up. He showed up with a turtleneck on the one day.
Yeah.
Just like that guy.
Two peas in a pod. Al's brother and the O-Dog.
And he had a lather on with the TV lights on.
Oh, yeah. It was hot in here. But Al's brother had a tight tuck turtleneck, and the lights were shining on him.
He was sweating.
Sweltering.
He was being interrogated for something he knew he was guilty of. Full-blown interrogation, and they had him caught red-handed.
Yeah.
Al's brother. All right, there you go. You're back on the clock.
He's my guy. I'm sticking with him.
Okay. Craig Button will be in studio. We'll look back on the Leaf game last night, tee up the game tomorrow night, and spin you around the NHL. Ilya Kovalchuk with a big night. Sidney Crosby's back and better than ever. A lot going on throughout the league. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine a little bit later in the hour. Maple Leafs in action tomorrow night with Chicago in town. The only time Chicago's here. Always a fun game when those two teams play. I was hoping for an entertaining game last night with Calgary here. And if you're a big goaltending fan,
it could have been
a great game.
If the goalies were average, it would have been more entertaining because that would have been a 5-4, 4-3 type of game.
Oh, yeah.
I will wear my alumni jacket. Some people in this room think that I should have lost my privileges.
Revoked.
Wear my alumni.
No, not revoked. I said there should have been a 30-day suspension.
Okay, Craig Button's in here. Craig, you were on the lunch today.
Jeff was all over me. I got something for you.
Yeah. You were in there today.
You don't need to have it revoked. You contributed to the Leafs. I just thought 30-day suspension.
Yeah. We should hang it in like the corner or something instead of having it laying as trunk. Like you can.
I actually have a new alumni jacket. I made my own.
You're
I'm not kidding. I did. I had one personally made. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that, but.
What do you mean? Like
he made his own alumni.
You're talking, but the original. You just got it like new fabric or something. Or are you saying you got a new jacket, a new like emblem or whatever?
Well, I'll be straight up honest with you. Mine didn't fit, so I had to.
It looked a little snug.
Yeah, thanks.
It did.
Why don't you say you lost it?
Yeah, look.
Just say you lost it.
Okay, I lost it
in the trunk of his car. Can't
hey, listen it. The tailoring wasn't well done.
Exactly.
Now you got to take matters into your own hands.
Okay, that's a professional.
Get it?
Move.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic.
What'd you get on the inside there? I saw.
Inside is all my favorite Leafs players, and I actually told my suit guy to put Carlo in there, and he forgot. So there's Stage, there's Alex Steen,
Kaber?
There's Eric Lindros,
the Kaber maker?
Ugly Face,
yes,
Ty Domi, Tux.
13 in there, or what?
Oh, yeah.
93?
Oh, yeah.
17?
Eddie Olchuk?
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Olchuk.
I think that's
call.
So cool. That is such a neat
great
idea.
Call.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We should go
Did you have Carlo like with a little Buffalo Sabres emblem in there?
That's what you should
Neither
do.
One of them knew he played in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Well, Carlo is now going back on it, and he texted me. He goes, Jeff, I was trying to look at you to tell me that it was me. Yeah. I'm like, no, you didn't.
No, I don't believe that.
No, Carlo didn't know.
He had no idea.
Yeah,
he had no idea it was him.
He completely forgot.
Right.
He doesn't want to acknowledge that he played for Buffalo.
Yeah. Or remember he played in Toronto, I think.
Some days I don't blame him.
Yeah. Well, Craig, you were on the lunch today, and Andy Petrillo was presented with the exact same line of questioning. The exact same line. Now, I believe the moderator, I don't know if she was as talented as the original.
You know what? They were being heroes, though. That's the thing.
Like, yeah, there was some heroic.
Andy was being a hero, and Steph was being a hero. I think Steph may have put it on a tee for Andy. Like, may have, like, almost like, not cheating. She wasn't the Astros. There wasn't,
there was
signs.
No signals. There was no Although signals. The first question, she was sitting right where Brian is, and all of a sudden she looked back here. And I was like, is she getting a signal? Yeah. We really thought that maybe there has to be an investigation.
She's Altuve. She's Altuve.
Yeah, Andy Altuve. And I wouldn't put it past Steph Cora in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Cora.
Yeah.
He was the mastermind behind the whole thing.
Well, you've worked with a lot of organizations. What do you think is going on behind the scenes in Houston right now? Like, if you're affiliated with that team, you work at the building. You're down there. Spring training starts in a month. What the hell are you doing?
Well, what I'd be interested in, for the general manager, like, there's all kinds of people saying, oh, I had no idea that was going on. If you were the general manager, would you know that was going on, or would you not?
Absolutely, you would know, Jeff, and there's no way. Like, I could understand if it was one time, right? Like, if you did it in one game. Yeah. It was, like, Rob Manfred, it was systemic.
Right.
It was over years. It wasn't over one game. Like, you know, it was systemic. It was, and so there's no way you can't know about that as a manager. And I mean, I guess you could if you went to Mongolia and lived up in the mountains and didn't hear of what was going on anywhere in the world. That
so
would be
do you
the
mean
way.
The general manager.
I think
or
he's
the
lying. The general manager's lying right through his teeth.
I still don't understand.
Lying right through his teeth.
I agree.
We all know.
He would have been better off taking the fifth.
Well, and let's be honest, he got suspended then fired, and you don't think he'd be out like saying statement, it's bogus, I didn't know. Like, the fact that he's so quiet, that's very
he got fired with cause.
He knew
with cause.
We all know people in the hockey business, we've been in all of that. There's some things that are kind of we know behind the scenes, like the worst kept secret.
Yeah.
You know, that guy or this thing or whatever. Was this the worst kept secret in baseball that somebody finally was like, you know what, to hell with this. I'm just going to blurt it out.
The investigation started because there was allegations and there were suspicions. And so now, as they went further down that path, then they started, wait a sec, maybe there is something here to look at, right? So, like, I think there was people suspicious.
So once, like, someone like yourself who was an executive, once you find out that information, don't you have to have a conversation with yourself over a coffee saying, do I ask the players about this? Do I confront them? Or do I just let... I don't know. Like,
you go in, like, Manfred wrote a memo to everybody. Like, Jim Crane, the owner, says, you know what? I get all the memos from Major League Baseball. And he says, I went and asked my people. I said, you know, are we doing any of this? They said, no, well, you better not be doing any of it. Isn't that the first signal? That you better know what the hell is going on? And if he, let's just say he didn't know what was going on. Well, that just speaks to complete incompetence, which is another good reason to lose your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the
crazy
wild
stuff.
Scene,
man.
And I think the World Series victory should be vacated. I think all the records should be vacated, just like what happens in the Olympics, what happens in the NCAA, Lance Armstrong, gone. Sorry, there's no record of you winning.
I would say to Brian, I was such a big fan of Altuve.
Uh-huh.
He's like the little guy that...
His whole story is a great story.
It's a great story, but now I look at him, I'm like...
It's tarnished.
How about his home and road splits? I mean, isn't that another huge evidence thing?
In 17, it was like actually comical. No.
We were talking off air, and I can't give you an honest answer, but he scored 41 one year. And we were saying, like, if somebody came to you, it can't happen in hockey, I don't know how it would, but if somebody came to him and said, against a couple teams or that playoff round, I can get you another 9, I can get you to 50, would you think about it? Like, I'm honestly saying, as a former athlete, like, you're always looking for a competitive edge. I know that crosses a line, but I'm not suggesting I would cheat, but I think players would be tempted by it. That's obviously, they certainly are. Because
and the only comparison is twice in my career, I was asked by teammates, one in junior, one in the NHL, do I want to take steroids?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
And I would never wear some kind of buzzer playing in the NHL because
I don't even
that's
know
not reasonable.
And baseball is very unique, right?
Yeah. Like,
because, every play starts in the same place with the pitcher, right? So,
it's not free flowing like hockey.
Any hitter can tell you that if they have a chance to know what pitch is coming, They got a 99% better chance of taking advantage of it.
It's very scientific. I think in terms of that hypothetical, this is also what makes baseball story so crazy. Is you look at the guys who were taking roids, there were probably hundreds of players taking roids, but the best players were taking roids.
Right.
What I've always contended is I can understand. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it should happen. But if you propose to me, I'm either in Major League Baseball with roids or AAA without them.
You're doing it all the time.
I'm probably taking roids. I'm just going to be honest. I would probably say, you know what? I can make $1 million or 70 grand.
Right.
Who's the kid in Toronto that was, he got caught? Colabello?
Yeah, Colabello did that. Yeah, he got, and he was a little bit older.
He knew the difference between being a minor league guy and a big league guy, and he took that chance. And he came out and said, I respect the game. I would never do that. But you actually did do that.
And I think what's frustrating is, like, you look at Barry Bonds, who was already a Hall of Famer before he ever started taking. He was already going. Roger Clemens was already going. And they were like, I'm still going to take it, allegedly.
You know what's amazing? Like, my wife works with national team and Olympic team athletes. And so across the international spectrum of athletes, they watch performance. So they see we're like, you three are all competing in an event, right? And you're clearly the best, right? And now he's close, but he can't catch up to you. So now he thinks, I got to do something. Then you think you got to do something. Right. And it is that competitive thing. They say we're she tells me the only athletes you can believe when they get a positive test are the ones that have no reason to take steroids, that are so clearly the best. But when you're Barry Bonds and you're Roger Clemens and you're starting to dip a little bit, there's incentive there too.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it would be like, why would Sidney Crosby ever need steroids? He's the best of the best.
Yeah.
McDavid.
But at some, I would never suggest that they would, but at some point in time, they might go, geez,
I'm 35. Now.
Right? And not that it would, but you could say, okay, like that would be, okay, my game's falling off a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's probably the mentality.
And there's incentives too in other sports. Hockey is a straight salary.
Right.
Right. So you're getting your salary. You know, when the incentives increase and, 40 home runs means $1 million and 50 home runs means another $2 million and 60 means $3 million more million, the incentives that get put in there become also an enticer, too.
Absolutely. Craig Button in studio. We brought this up in each of the previous 2 hours. The first hour, just the three of us, and then Ray came on at 5. William Nylander scoring again last night. He's got 42 points, 21 goals already on the season. We're all doing the top 50 list at the halfway point for TSN. Owen and I have him in our top 50 based on the way he's played. I don't know if you're doing that. I'm sure you are. Is he in your top 50?
He absolutely is.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, he has been. He's been very good. He's been a very productive player. He's been a player that's carried the puck. And I know, Jeff, you do all the Leafs games, but one of the things that you wanted to see William do a little bit more of was shoot the puck and not just kind of, and I don't say this in a negative way, like he carries the puck, but don't just carry it without purpose. Make plays, get around the net. He's been more of a give it up, get it back, and really, he's been a really good player for
us. As good as he's been, Craig, I think there's
more there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he threatens goaltenders enough with that shot of his.
And I think he's got a good shot.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
You got to hit the net. I mean, but
he misses the net a lot, and he doesn't really seem to get in those Ovechkin-type shooting areas where he can threaten a goaltender, because he's got one of those violent shots where it goes in the net, and the goalie's like, oh, what the heck just happened there? And I don't think he uses it enough.
I agree.
As good as he's been, he can. I think he can be better.
Yeah, totally agree.
A lot better.
I think he's a lot like his dad. Because his dad was a passer.
Did you play with his dad?
Nope. Played against him, and that was always a pre-scout with Michael, as Michael was always looking for options. Very skilled player, ultra skilled, but always left you wanting a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And he always looked to pass. But he was, when Michael was on, there were times where like, that guy is the best player on the ice.
Yeah.
And then there are other times where like, don't notice him at all. I mean, I'm not saying anything other than...
Well, that sounds familiar.
Fair. I mean, it is, but when I look at William, I think he has a pass-first mentality. He's a disher. He's got great vision. But his dad had that amazing... And he had a weird stick, too. Oh, I don't... Do you remember Michael's
ugliest,
stick? It was like the
ugliest
weirdest
curve.
It almost...
Well, I think William has a little bit of a one, too. It kind of, it's got the big...
The upshoot.
Oh, yeah. The upshoot. That's...
But I think he's naturally wired to look for options other than to use that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I think he will start to threaten with it.
Well, I mean, I'll give him credit. Like, there was a lot of Well, he was taking a lot of heat last year based on the way everything went. Contract, the way he played. And he came into the season, he was talking a big game, right? He said, I want to start dominating. I want to get out there and perform. And he has. He's brought everything you can expect out of him.
How much do you think that Sheldon Keefe has helped that?
Well, he's getting more minutes, which definitely doesn't hurt. Right, like the big four guys up front that are getting paid every night, they're playing 23 or 24 minutes a night.
Yeah,
like last night, they all played 23 plus. Well,
they only got one more game before the big break.
Like something simple, though, as far as Nylander, put him on the number one power play unit. You're paying him $7 million a year, and he must have been watching that saying, I get 15 seconds of power play time. What on earth am I supposed to do? Power play's a big thing as far as production.
Right. Sure is.
And if you don't get that element with the big guys, what are you supposed to do? And it's something as simple as, like, I'm going to be on the number one unit. And you produce, like, one of those big guns, which you're paid to do. Yeah. It's such a simple thing.
But Mike Babcock, Jeff.
No way. Yeah. He wouldn't do it.
The reason I'm laughing, I'm thinking back to Brett Hull. in some of the things, like, I'm the highest paid decoy in the league. Don't pass it to Hully, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
But they need it. They need to be fed. I mean, that's their feeding time, right?
That's it.
That's what they're doing. And that's the biggest difference for me, for sure. I mean, he's asking for them to hold on to the puck more and all that, which I think probably falls in line with what Nylander can do and do well. But, man, you get an extra 5 minutes a night, you're going to score more points.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
Good for them.
Score more points.
And,
all four of them.
And Sheldon's held him to task, not like Mike, but... You know, there's been one or two nights where, okay, well, you're not going to get those minutes because you're not going tonight.
Right.
But other than that, like, it's like, get over the boards, go and produce.
Well, if a coach is always telling you what you can't do and why I'm not going to use you here, right, well, why are you going to keep working at it? What's your incentive to go and get better, right? And quite frankly, Mike did a lot of that. He told everybody what they couldn't do and why he wasn't going to put them here and why he wasn't going to put these players here because they couldn't do this. Okay. If you came in every day, Brian, and somebody told you what you couldn't do, you wouldn't try to get better at those things.
Yeah, it's deflating. Yep. Like, over time, you're like, I can't keep chugging along, even if it's subconscious, right?
Yeah,
like,
you want
to be a pro, you want to keep growing, but it just chips away at you.
I think it's chipping away a little bit at Kapanen right now. I think he knows he's a better player that can get those types of minutes, but it's not available to him. Like, there's times where I think he... You could put him out there, but he's never going to play in front of Nylander and Marner.
No. Yeah, he is
personally,
what he is in Toronto.
Unfortunately, in Toronto. But I look at him, and I've seen him wear it a few nights. He's not pouting or anything, but you can see him wear, like, you know, he wants more.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell he wants more.
Well, and he's got pretty good line mates going right now.
Yeah.
Like, prior to a bit of a lineup change last night, Johnsson and Kerfoot with Kapanen, like, there's
nice
a lot time. Worse third lines than that.
Agreed.
So, yeah, you're right. You're not going to move up the ladder beyond Marner and Nylander, but it's not like you're playing with two plugs that can't get you the puck or do anything.
Well, the other thing about that, too, you're also matched up against the other team's weaker defense pairs. You're not getting the same primary.
Yeah, you should be able to produce because you get a wrong matchup against the weak third line.
Yep, absolutely.
I played on some good lines, one in Toronto, one in Hartford. You have the puck the whole night. Because the other third line's terrible.
Yeah, and you know you can take advantage,
that's right?
Yeah.
What have you seen out of Rasmus Sandin? It's early, two games, but you loved him at the World Juniors.
He was phenomenal at the World Junior Tournament. He really was. He was a dominant player, not just the best defenseman. He was a dominant player in every single regard. And, you know, last year at the Junior Tournament, he was a good player. This year he went to another level. That's what a year does for you and the year difference. But his mind, he's such a smart player, and he recognizes situations really quick. And, you know, it's funny when, not funny, but you hear, I mean, Jeff, you know this. You know, when you're a skilled player and you get the puck not only on your stick and in the right time and the right amount of space, like, give it to me. Like, where's this guy? Why am I not on the ice with him? And when Marner and Matthews come out, it's because he gives you the puck at the right time when you got space to operate. He's so dialed in. The hockey sense is exceptional. And now his physical strength is getting there. And, you know, you can see the confidence just growing. I mean, that first game he played, it was the play in the offensive zone where he just kind of held the puck, kind of coming off the wall and held it out, and then he dished it back in. That's the confidence you see when it's not just, I'm going to put it down in the corner and let somebody muck it out. He's a good player.
How do you make the determination of a player like that when you kind of got to win, but development is also important? What's the chain of importance as far as the player. It's like you, the Leafs got to win.
They do, and I think what you have to do is evaluate, you know, keep testing him in different situations to see if he can be the answer and a contributor to winning. And if he shows that he can do it, then sometimes we make a decision before we get enough information, right? And so we say, oh, he's young, so we'll put him back down. But yeah. It's bad timing for Morgan Riley, but it's great timing for Rasmus Sandin, coming off the confidence of the World Junior Tournament. And so keep riding him. Let's see what he can do. And you get surprised. Like, yeah. I mean, he's not the first young player, first rookie that can come into a lineup and go, whoa, like, oh boy, what do we got here?
Yeah. Right.
All you got to do is look at Binnington last year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Kept trying to push him down.
Yep.
Right. And I'm not saying push him down. I'm not saying that in a negative push down. You know, Allen was their guy. You know, they were looking at Ville Husso, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they were left. They go, okay, let's give him a chance.
He's going to play.
Binnington was five at one point, fifth in their depth chart.
Really?
Yeah, think about that, Jamie.
But, you know, opportunity, yep, and he seized it, and it's timing, too.
It is,
yep. If he was there earlier in the year when Pietrangelo was out and it was a nightmare and they couldn't defend and Bouwmeester was a healthy scratch here in Toronto, like, maybe it didn't work out. But
yeah.
Just he's grabbed the ball and run with it.
So, absolutely. Like, that game against New Jersey the other night, Jeff, like, you know, you're sitting there and, like, what? So you get up 6-1. So that's the time, to me, like, you test it. A guy like Sandin, get him out against Palmieri, get him out against Heischer, get him out against the better players, a stronger player. See how he handles those things. Yeah. You got a 6-1 lead, right? And you know, and then you get these opportunities to evaluate a player, and then the players usually show if they're overwhelmed, and then that, I think, the decision becomes, okay, he's not quite ready. Let's get him down there. This will benefit him.
Right.
And you know, if you want to keep force feeding a player, usually it's against your best interests, the players and the teams.
Well, we'll see tomorrow night, Chicago in town with the Leafs, and then the Leafs are off for about 10 days, week and a half.
It's a long break.
It's a long break. Bye week, all-star break, it happens.
I'm surprised you guys don't have the same break off.
No, shockingly. We're in here. We'll be doing something. Don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, don't.
All right, Craig.
Okay, see you. Have a good weekend.
There he is, Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and some Aaron Rodgers vintage audio, making me feel very good about the chances of a Packer win on Sunday. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Kansas City, -7.5. And I am on the Green Bay Packers, +7.5. Those are my picks with O and with Al's brother. Those are my picks on point spread, throw it out 20. You can score 40. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So I'm off to the game. I'm flying out to the Bay Area tomorrow morning. And then I'm back on the red eye
Monday
Sunday night
morning,
after the
yeah.
game. I'll be back Monday, yeah.
You going to live tweet it?
I think I'll post a couple of tweets, a couple of Instagram posts.
You should.
Follow along on Instagram at HayesTSN.
I think you should, because that way people are going to be excited to see what you're wearing, how it's going.
Well,
the move is pebble in the morning and right to the game in a limo.
I wouldn't do that. You're going to have a good night Saturday, quote, and have some fun
that
in San Fran.
I know. Pebble in the morning right into a Packers NFC Championship game truly would be the greatest day in the history
of your life.
Of my life.
Well
outside of children being born and getting married and
all that.
Stuff. Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad we caught ourselves, or I caught myself.
Yeah. We had to toss that in.
Yeah. Never, it didn't even cross your mind at all. But but outside of that.
Probably creeping in the top 10 anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. Somewhere in the top 10. We were asking, with the Packers playing and me going to the game, should I wear, or is it gutless if I don't wear Packers gear to the game? 82% of the vote, yes, gutless move if you do not wear Packers gear. You guys both say don't do it.
No,
it's not worth it.
Don't do it. I'm telling you,
it's not worth it. You want to go and have a good time.
I'm getting a lot of people writing in, too, saying, I've been down there a lot. I'm telling you, don't. Like, there's people that are just in their hooligans.
Yeah.
And it's a big game. There's 70,000 people. And
emotions.
Let me ask you this. You're going to the Bay Area. Do you think you'll get recognized once?
No.
Yes.
No, I won't.
I say one time.
I guarantee you there
one
will be somebody there from the Vancouver area. It's like, I watch Overdrive.
Yeah.
It is the most random thing. I will get stopped, like, I don't even know where. I'll be in Florida. And I know people travel, but they're like, hey, I love that show. Love his show.
I'll keep tabs on that.
My weirdest one was in Santa Monica. I was at one of those places on the beach, right beside the path.
Yeah.
And a guy at a skateboard stopped and took off his hat and his glasses, and he goes, I love Overdrive. I'm like, what?
Like a skater dude cruising around Santa Monica?
A skater dude in Santa Monica.
He was probably listening to the podcast.
I don't know. That was the weirdest one. I'm like, I had sunglasses on. I had a ball cap. I'm like, how in the hell did that guy spot me?
You will get spotted one time. Yeah. Now, maybe at the airport. Okay. Is the airport count?
No. On the way out, I don't think so. Not at Pearson.
Gotta
not
be in
not
San
in Toronto
Fran somewhere.
Or, yeah. I'll let you know. Spotted. I mean, if it happens, I'll tweet about it or... Maybe I'll post a pic.
Post a pic with the person.
There you go. So, yeah, I'm going there. I'm looking forward to it. I got it all booked. Our boys at bookseats.com hooked me up with great tickets, flights, all that kind of stuff. So we're all good. And this is why I'm excited. You want to hear Aaron Rodgers? This is on his draft night. He thought he was going first overall to the 49ers. They passed on him. He dropped into the 20s, and the Packers took him. This is why I feel good about Green Bay on Sunday.
How disappointed are you that you will not be a 49er?
Not as disappointed as the 49ers will be that they didn't draft me.
That's just a hero. Suck on that one.
That's just a hero comment.
That'll come up if he beats.
He had another hero comment a couple years ago when he told everybody to just chill out. I got this.
Yeah, he was right.
But he was right. Didn't he throw like a Hail Mary at the end of the game?
Yeah. That was, I think they were like 3-3 or whatever, and people were freaking out. He said, it's all good. He got them to the playoffs. That year, they won.
I want you on the field running around to hear my clip.
I
he is drunk. He's on the 20. He's on the 30. And I want to see you with no tarp. Yeah. Just wheeling down.
Well, I intend on being here Monday at 4 p.m. I think I will be, and it's going to be a fun weekend. We're back Monday
at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior Sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.